What's happened here is Margot Parker has made a stand. It's 9:01 a.m. Mm. She's genuinely walked off.
Been a storm out.
She wanted to go watch one of the kids do the cross country.
Well, the problem is she's got too many bloody kids because last week she went and watched them swim. Like,
I might start using her kids as excuses. I've got to go watch Wiley at athletics. No, like, that's a bit weird.
I can't say it. I used to do the same thing, and it's important because your kids, they... Yeah, they want to be proud in front of somebody.
Do you know my mate Tommy Collins, the Clayfield Cowboy? He used to play rugby at UQ. He said he used to see you around the rugby club there, just like Kim Jong-un with your hands behind your back marching.
Tell him. A lot of people claim to know me, but I don't know him, but I've heard you talk about him, yeah.
The Clayfield Cowboy. Anyway, Tom. Just talking about going to watch kids play sport and just observe. He said that you were one of the great observers, Kim Jong-un style.
He described me as an observer.
Yeah, but he was happy.
Was I trying to get out of a meeting like Margot?
I think it was 9:15.
Yes, okay. I'm happy to watch anyone rings up 133353. You want me to come and watch your kitty run around? If it gets me out of this frigging meeting that's going to start in 2 minutes' time, I'm happy to be there.
We don't have a meeting.
Just give me their name and some vague details of what they look like, and I'll be there.
You could get a vague sign like one of the wonderful Indians that lives in Brisbane who we love. Whenever the test is on, and they just hold up a sign that says, hit A6.
Yes. run fast. Oh, no, it's swimming. Swim fast.
It's so good. Is that a language thing maybe? Because they're spelling it in English, and more power to them being bilingual, but it's a very simple sign.
That's what they do. They all take sheets of foolscap paper at hit A6. Oh, no, it's so good.
They're almost like the coaching stuff. What do we have to do to win?
Actually, think about it. Margot going and asking her third child, he'd be 9 now this year. He's my favourite. I've ever told you the story. They were over at Morton last year, her family. Well, they're coming over at Easter, I found out today.
You discovered that today.
Yes, anyway.
You'll hear that in the podcast.
That's
okay. Realise you actually said to Margot, I wanted to be there at Easter. You booked in.
Yes.
She's taken your house.
Anyway, that's all right. I'll stay in a tent out the back. But her son last year, when they came over, I was doing a bit of landscaping and stuff, digging holes, not hard in sand. Her only child helped me. Incredible. An 8-year-old said, can I give you a hand digging the holes? I went, what? What are you?
Wow.
And that's Jagger. That's why he's my favourite.
Good on him. Is he the one you picked up from sport last year? Remember that Margot was in a bind and it was going to be...
No, I didn't have to in the end.
Yeah.
Because her husband said, that is so embarrassing that you're making Marta go and pick up your children while you're at a lunch or something or other.
Your life is wonderful, though, like Gran Torino. You're like Clint Eastwood, the grumpy
get
old bastard. Yeah, and you don't want any of these kids around, but eventually a nice little relationship develops there and you start digging holes.
They're like dogs. You can only love your own one. If they wag their tail, those little kitties.
Hey, what didn't your parents teach you? We talked about this on the show today, mate. You'll hear that coming up.
Who have you got?
Bob from Kashmir has texted 0484101045. Get in touch anytime. We'll try and do it on the show. If we can't, we'll do it here. My son rang me one night, Marto, he wants to tell you, because he and his girlfriend couldn't use a can opener.
Oh, that's magnificent. That's wonderful. Of course, you wouldn't think that another human couldn't use a can opener. They wouldn't have had one to start, would they?
Why are you still needing a can opener?
Are all cans got a little
ring pull on it?
Geez, I'd check the use-by date on that can, Bob.
I'd suggest you need to teach your children just to not buy cans that need an opener.
That's right.
Just buy cans with a ring.
Now, listen, can I just tell you a quick one? If you, I don't know whether there's not many bottles of wine with a cork in them anymore, but if you don't have a corkscrew, can I give you a way of...
Shoe.
Okay. A shoe?
You don't know this one?
No.
Well, you do yours first and I'll tell you the shoe.
Mine is, you know... how you screw in, what do you call them, eye hooks, so hooks, and they've got an eye. You can hang plants and stuff. If you screw that into the corkscrew, you then show super strength and pull it out.
You might need two blokes for that, or two girls or whatever, someone hold the bottle.
You need a stick or you need a piece of metal and pull it out, like easy.
Okay.
Between your legs, and then you'll hit your nose and break it.
I'll demonstrate for you. It's not going to be great for the podcast, but I've taken my shoe off, put the bottle of wine
in the heel section. Yeah.
Okay.
Vertical.
And then you turn it sideways. So
the shoe's vertical, the bottle's horizontal, hit it against the wall.
And the cork, the liquid in the bottle going back and
forward.
Eventually the cork will come out like a centimetre. You get your teeth on it, not your teeth. Be gentle with your beautiful new teeth.
Expensive.
And you can pull the cork out.
My God,
just
that's
bang, bang it on the wall. On okay. the use the sole of your shoe so it doesn't break the bottle. Obviously.
I'd go to Oregon on the internet. There'd be a lot of fails using that method.
And
though.
Then you tip the wine obviously into the shoe, like Harry Connick Jr.
and Scarlett.
How late was he to the shoey? As he remember, Hillary Clinton did a dab many years ago, and that killed it. Yeah. The shoey's now Harry Connick Jr. is doing a shoey.
He drank tea out of his shoe.
Yeah, through a Tim Tam. He did a. I did a, the Tim first Tam. Tim Tam slam shoey. I yeah. go home, mate.
Yeah, you're a wanker.
Go home. Mm.
And listen, who's Harry Connick Senior? Like, don't give me friggin' junior shit. If no one knows who your dad is, like that's Tevita Pangai Junior. Did his dad ever play rugby league? No. Well, just your Tevita Pangai.
Who is just so he'd be straight up Harry Connick.
Yeah.
Who is just Harry Connick? Who is he?
What do you mean?
Like, who's his dad? Is his dad anyone?
No.
Harry Connick Senior.
But that's what I'm saying with Tevita Pangai Junior.
Hang on. His first name is Joseph. Joseph Harry Fowler Connick. He's an American attorney.
What, his old man?
Who served as the district attorney of Orleans Parish. Oh, I mean,
he grew up an entitled kiddie, didn't he?
He's still alive, his dad. His son.
But
Harry,
his name wasn't Harry.
No, his name is Joseph, which means if I go to Harry Connick Jr., his name is Joseph Harry Fowler Connick Jr.
Yeah, Harry Connick Jr.'s first name isn't Harry.
No.
Fraudulent.
Go home, mate.
Mm. Oh, I think he has. This is the grand final. Royston won, if you didn't see it. My wife wants to watch that show two nights. She only watched it on Tuesday night. She already knew who won. What's the use of watching a frigging grand final if you already know the...
Look, he's a gay Indigenous fella. That
fat
is,
as well.
That he's, is big in this climate.
He got three aces dealt to him. Bang, bang, bang. Yeah, and he's in the current environment.
He's also an amazing singer. Give him credit for that. But in this environment, the youth, if you have a couple of those points on your scorecard, we can admit that has certainly helped, right? And who doesn't want to see a homosexual Indigenous man do well? That is a maligned category.
I'll be interested to watch his career. And as I said, yeah. See which night he's on at Twin Towers.
Hey, Michael, listen to the show from LAX.
Are we still going?
He might see Harry Connick Jr. get off the plane and come home. He was Harry streaming Connick our show today.
Harry Connick Jr. is another RSL specialist.
Joseph Connick, Joseph Jr., Joey Jr.
Joey Jr.
Marto, there is a simple solution to the rental crisis. We talked about that today. Have all levels of government open up land. Yeah, we kind of came...
Well, no, the state government says, you councils aren't opening up land. The council said, well, you aren't. They're all fighting.
You know how someone lives in the Indooroopilly Bridge?
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
They had to get craned out.
you want to put a family in there?
No, where the Gold Coast Lights are. You're knocking them down. Well, you've already got lighting there.
Oh,
put a family in the middle of the M1. You got there some land?
Why don't people live all the way along that culvert in the M1? There's plenty of room.
It's a hell of a drive.
Close to traffic.
Hell
close
of a driveway to reverse out
It's
of.
A hell of a driveway.
But you know what?
But I think you'd come in one side and go out the other because you're going back to work.
At least you've got good lights there as you're reversing out the big GC side. Oh, sorry.
Wicked. Where else can we put... Can you bring that up? There's the taxi. We've got to go.
Highway. Oh, is that your cab? Yeah. I just meant reversing onto the highway.
Finish up the cruiser. We've got to get in the cab.
Where's Margot?
She's in the cab, I think.
This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margot and Dan. Brisbane as.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Wednesday. It's time to look forward. Don't forget, tomorrow's Thursday. Roosters Eels will be playing and the Lions are playing in the AFL tomorrow night.
Bulldogs, beautiful bounce time. It's about 6:30. Nice and early.
But you look at the NRL table and they're still coming third on the table are the mighty Dolphins, despite that close loss last weekend. And I'll tell you what, one of the stars, former Bronco, and there's a few of them in the Dolphins team, one of the stars and the leading point scorer, he was the first question in our quiz at 5:30 this morning. Jermaine Asako, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. What are you made of the season? The change of life, it must be so refreshing for you.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's definitely enjoying my time here at the Dolphins and makes it a lot better when you're winning games. the loss last week hurt, but yeah, we'll move on to this week.
Jermaine, there was plenty of talk in the lead up to, you know, the Dolphins building a team. Oh, they don't have a playmaker. They haven't signed a great spine, this, that and the other. It's a lot of players who are either out of form, who are old, who can't get a contract somewhere else. There's something really special about Wayne Bennett and what he does for players who are in that position where they feel maybe they're on their last legs. Tell us a little bit about what it's been like for you coming from obviously the Titans and the Broncos up to Redcliffe and the impact that Wayne has had on your career.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, the last couple of years, you know, probably haven't been, you know, playing the greatest footy, but, you know, coming to the Dolphins, I knew, you know, Wayne brought the best out of me in 2018 and, you know, he was one of the main reasons I chose to stay at the Broncos.
What is it about him, Jermaine?
Oh, he seems to, you know, obviously bring the best out of, you know, his players. And
but how does he do it?
Oh, just the way he's approaches you, speaks to you. You know, you just don't want to let that bloke down. You know, whenever you're given a task or, you know, been told to do something by him, you know, you don't want to let him down.
And,
why not, Jermaine? What, go a bit deeper.
Is he like your granddad?
Yeah. Why don't you want to let him down?
Well, often people say he puts his arms around players. Like, what does that mean? Does he physically actually put his arm around you and says, you know, I've got your back, I'm going to look after you, you know, I'll scratch yours, you scratch mine type of situation? Or is it more
pretty
just
much
his presence is really commanding, Jermaine?
Oh, I think it's a lot of those things. Yeah, like you said, he does comfort you a little bit in terms of what he says. But, you know, at the same time, he definitely makes sure that you understand that, you know, he's got your back and that he's got full belief in you to do a job for him. So, yeah.
Hey, I see the news yesterday. Oh, Jack White, and I'm going to throw myself on the open market, and everyone's going, "Oh, you'll go to the Dolphins." What do you reckon? I saw somebody put it forward that you guys are all so happy living at Redcliffe, which is a beautiful part of the world, especially around Newport and Scarborough, and the housing's not as expensive as where you could live everywhere else in the competition. You reckon that's one of the reasons a lot of the guys are going to the Dolphins because of what a wonderful place it is near where you train?
Yeah, I have no idea, but to be honest, no.
Well, are you up that way?
No, I was in Carrigan. I'm in more Brisbane way.
Oh, Jesus, you're driving each day, righto.
South side to north side.
It's not that far, though. What is it, 40 minutes, Jermaine, to training?
Yeah, about 40, 45 minutes, yeah, which isn't too bad.
What did you hear about the Jack Whiten story? Anything to it?
No, I haven't actually been following it. I saw it on the paper this morning, so it'll be pretty interesting if he does look to try and come here. So,
Jermaine, you got the Dragons this weekend, and there's a bit of player unrest there. There's some coaching uncertainty. We don't know if Anthony Griffin's going to be there or not. You've coached. Did you play under Anthony Griffin when he was at the Broncos, or was that a bit before your time?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit before
my time.
The Broncos.
Does that have impact on you guys? You know, obviously they've got, you know, some stuff that they're working on down there and they haven't had a great start to the season. Do you guys play into that because your culture is so great and you have such a great coach and inspiration in Wayne?
No, not really. I think, you know, this week we're a bit more focused on us and, you know, getting a few of the things that we got wrong last week right, you know, in our preparation. So, obviously there's a little bit of unrest at the Dragons at the moment, but obviously that won't affect our preparation. We'll be looking to, you know, approach the game as we do each week and hopefully come away with the 2 points.
Hey, listen, for anyone doing their tipping, so Jeremy Marshall-King's back at halfback at nine, which is a huge in, and Isaiah Katoa, your playmaker, he's playing halfback. Is that where we're at with Milford number six?
I think Izzy will come in at the halfback role, and obviously Jeremy will come back to the hooker role. So, yeah.
A couple of injuries, Jermaine. Is that a concern for you guys? Obviously, Sean O'Sullivan's been huge for you guys, and then Tessie New with that knee. Cody Nikorima also injured last week, and obviously Felice Kafusi still out for a couple of weeks. How do you feel those gaps?
Oh, look, we've got, you know, young talent within the team that, you know, Wayne obviously has trust in that'll come in and do a job. But, you know, missing key players and key roles, you know, certainly is, you know, massive for us. But I have no doubt that the blokes that will come in this week will do a pretty good job for us. And, yeah, like I said, hopefully get the job done.
Well, if you need any more motivation, I've tipped you in my Courier Mail tipping this weekend.
No. Oh, that's a curse.
So get me the win, bud, all right? Tell the boys Margot Parker has tipped us, so we have to do it for
her. She's barely better than a coin flip at this stage, Jermaine.
Get the fins up, mate. Yeah.
So easy.
Dragons, Dolphins, Saturday, 4:30 p.m. on Triple M and the Listener app. All thanks to Budget Direct, proud founding partner of the Dolphins NRL. You're on Triple M.
My wife, Kath, and I didn't have to cook dinner last night. We were invited for the first time in our life to our daughter and her boyfriend at their new house for dinner.
And you're just so terribly proud, Marto.
I didn't know she could cook food. It was extraordinary. We bought her a recipe tin, this amazing cookbook. I should talk about that one day. Even my daughter could cook food. It was chicken with all these veggies and with rizzoni, something called rizzoni. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about.
Doesn't rizzoni like play for the Bulldogs?
No, it's some sort of Italian ricey thing. Yeah. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. Because she rang and said, oh, do you want to go for dinner, la, la, la. And I'd been helping build the front fence at the moment. Or not helping, I've been building it. front fence and stuff like that. I thought, oh, good on you. I said, what do we need to bring? She said, can you bring your own chairs? It was the best. starting life in a new house.
Oh, that's cool.
There we were, loading the chairs up into the ute and went to dinner. Imagine that. Restaurants should do that.
What, did you take a camp chair or a plastic chair?
No, I took our dining room chairs.
Proper dining room chairs.
And forgot to bring them home, so they broached two chairs off us.
Take a seat, literally. Triple M Breakfast, don't you know, Marto,
Margo and Dan on the radio. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
Hey, Margo, I was watching the Channel 9 News last night and saw another one of those incidents. And whenever I see them, when a car goes into a house, okay, what was going on? How do you crash into a house? And it was into the lounge room of a house.
Oh, my Lord.
And you saw the loungers were everywhere. The TV had been knocked. It was just complete devastation.
No one was hurt?
No.
All you could hear was him trying to reverse his ute back out.
When police arrived, he abandoned the car and took off running.
Yeah, they got him.
Drink driving.
Drunk, drugs.
That's what it means. Or drugs.
If you're running from the cops, you know that you're about to get done for something even worse.
Blue Triton.
When I was in high school, my boyfriend...
Did you get married again?
No, he crashed into the front wall of somebody's house.
Yeah.
But it was because it was raining, slippery corner.
And he was pashing you or something.
No. I think he was showing off maybe a little bit.
Yeah, pulling up real quick.
Yeah, and went around the corner and then we crashed into the wall.
Oh, you were in it.
I was in it. Oi.
This
snuck
was
out. My mum and dad
set.
Didn't.
Were you this was high
it?
Speed. This thing was high speed. To go through a brick wall of a house and to go right through the room, etc. All right, so the story was this big unit who lived there, he made a late decision. This is their lounge room, okay? He made a late decision to go out and get some dinner, and I would figure he might have gone to a chicken shop, if you know what I mean. But anyway, he wasn't there at the time.
Did someone say KFC?
No, well, no need to amplify my comments.
He'd planned to stay in and watch TV, but made a last-minute call to go out for dinner.
So for the first time, this could have saved his life that he didn't.
Just sitting at home watching TV.
He would have died. That's good use of that audio.
Well,
yes,
one of our
favourites. And here he is because he dead set. He was going to sit in that lounge and the Blue Triton would have run straight over him. He knows how lucky he was.
This is where we usually actually sit and spend most of the time. And lucky we wasn't here tonight, otherwise we'll be killed.
Otherwise we would have been killed.
Is that one of your Italian mates from Morton?
No, it was just a big unit.
Giuseppe went out for dinner.
No, he was, I don't know. What. Anyway, he was an Aussie, but it reminds me of, and this has never been truer.
I just shake my head and think, well, lucky to be alive.
Well done.
I just wanted to use that.
I know. I'm disappointed you didn't go for the full trifecta.
I like to play tennis.
Got that. Nothing to do with the story.
You've got to get it in there somehow.
No,
mate.
You don't.
Next time. 3 from 3.
No, you don't.
Triple M.
Lucky to be alive.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. They're Brisbaneers.
I'd like to head over to America because great things happen in the land of the Americans. There is... Oh, thank you, Dan. Yeah, that America. It's just nothing else like it in the world, is it, America?
Nothing like a celebrity
court case either, because obviously off the back of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's nightmare of a publicised...
Scoop. That Amber Heard.
Yeah, that Amber Heard, the one that did a turd in the bed. It was. It went viral. It was sensational because it was just so ridiculous. And as you said, Marto, they're actors. That's what they're paid to do.
And they've got more lawyers than anyone else on earth, and they all need to do a job.
Yeah, well, there's another court case that's happening in the US courts at the moment that I'd like to bring to your attention. If you haven't already yet seen it, Gwyneth Paltrow, ladies and gentlemen, has found herself sitting on the bench being questioned over a skiing incident that happened a few years back where a former optometrist, I'm not sure why that's relevant, is suing her for damages. He is alleging that she crashed into him. He was the downward skier. She was the upward skier. Yes. He has right of way. She has somehow crashed into him. He's now 4 years, 5 years later, got a sore back, which he needs medical to seek medical attention for. And so he's suing her for hundreds of thousands of, well, I think it was initially $3 million. And and now he's changed his tune and it's only $300,000 that he's after or something like that. Anyway, she's counter-suing him now for $1 because she said, you know, I want to make a point that I don't think I'm in the wrong.
Reputational damage.
Exactly. It's symbolic, Marta. And they've been going back and forth and back and forth. And it's just absolute nonsense.
Is all of America watching it?
All of America is watching it. All of TikTok's watching it. It's gone viral. Because it's one of those things like Amber Heard, you know, the woman is always painted, you know, to be a little bit ridiculous. But
is she ridiculous? I don't know much about her.
Based off some of the answers she's given, it could be seen as a little bit entitled. Listen to this one.
Is it true that you feel it's unfair that Mr. Sanderson has brought this case against you?
I do.
And he has deterred you from enjoying the rest of what was a very expensive vacation.
Well, I lost half a day of skiing.
What?
Okay.
She lost half a day of skiing. It's been very inconvenient.
That is so inconvenient.
You know how expensive it is to ski in Vail and Aspen, Marto?
It's
very
la-di-da.
Very la-di-da. There's no Threadbow, right? It's not Perisher. We're not going to Smiggins. We're going to Aspen,
it's so relatable
Colorado.
That an optometrist has crashed into a multi-million
into
dollar
the mother of a child called after a fruit.
Apple. Hello. This has been impactive on him as well.
I heard something I've never heard at a ski resort. And that was a blood-curdling scream. Just, I can't do it. It was...
No, you can't
Why can't he do it?
Well, he... Try again.
Because he's not an actor.
Try
he can't
again.
Take him
Can
back.
He let it, hang on. Let him try again. Oh, I thought maybe if he warmed up his voice a little bit, he'd get it the third time. Not so much. Sorry.
Fry pan, you could put him down.
But he is suing her for $300,000 worth of damage. She is counter-suing $1, but she's also getting her legal fees covered as well because she's like, this is ridiculous. I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't have to pay for this.
Oh, my
and,
God.
She explains a little bit about the dollar.
$1 in symbolic damages. Is that accurate?
It's an actual dollar that I'm asking for.
Why an a dollar, actual. They say.
Does
why
she want the
a
note?
Dollar?
Does she want the actual?
Yeah, they're like, it's not symbolic. I actually want a dollar. And the lawyer suggested that perhaps she had seen this trick somewhere else.
A couple years ago in 2020, you didn't know anything about Taylor Swift's $1 symbolic damage lawsuit?
Just relevance, Your Honor.
Counsel?
Yeah, because I asked her about it at the time, and she denied it. Okay. Correct.
Can you answer the question?
Just relevance.
I was not aware at the time.
Not aware at the
God,
time.
Everyone's so bored. Did you hear the lawyer?
God,
everyone's really bored. And then they go on to question her friendship with Taylor Swift. And they're like, aren't you friends? Don't you sometimes send her intimate Christmas gifts? And it's like, well, Gwyneth Paltrow owns an online store called Goop. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. But she promotes natural, organic, chemical-free, hormone-free products.
That would be why I haven't heard of it.
Beauty products on her website, right? But not just that.
Like
there's toys and...
The full name
Beauty
is
cream.
Poopity Goop.
Poopity Goop. But no, she is friends with Taylor Swift. She's taken her kids to a few of the concerts. And Taylor Swift did this a few years ago where she asked for symbolic damages and she wanted a dollar as well. So they were suggesting that Gwyneth is only doing this because she saw that Taylor Swift did it and aren't they friends? And I just love how Taylor Swift is so bigger than thou that she gets woven into the narrative of Gwyneth Paltrow's skiing thing. Like, it's America. Like, you can't make this stuff up, right?
We can actually weave her in deeper if you want. You know, old mate, we can get Taylor around that too.
breathe. His humor ain't clean. With his handlebar mustache, he looks mean. It's Harley Breen.
Harles, it's Money Week on yes. Triple M, and you are our financial consultant.
That's right. Normally I come in for the laughs, the comedy. I'm not about the comedy today. Some could say I'm not about the comedy any week. It's all a bit lackluster. But
are you going to be an earnest comedian? We love nothing more than an earnest comedian.
I'm very serious. I'm very financially responsible. And so I've got a top 10 on how to save money because I know people are doing it tough and they're struggling out there.
I'm going to write
cost
notes.
Of living crisis, you're here to solve it.
Okay. The cost of living crisis, or as I like to call it, the price you have to pay to not die.
Mm-hmm. Are you giving us these tips for free? Because, you know, the barefoot investor, right, he wants you to go and buy his book and spend $40.
No, mate, I'm the voice of the people. Okay. I'm here for everyone.
I'm taking notes.
Take your notes. If you're driving in the car, grab yourself a pen and paper. Don't worry about that steering wheel. And jot these down as you're driving along.
And these are from the bare ass investor, was it?
This is the bare ass
investor. Okay,
so. The bearded face investor. Yeah.
The first one, and it's a big one, don't eat.
Oh.
You know, you've heard of intermittent fasting, right? Well, this is permanent fasting.
Well, this is for me. Great. It's just not about saving money. This is about losing weight, too. This
very
is
good for weight loss. In fact, they say around the world, starvation's the number one way to lose weight. So, number
that?
Two, stop buying clothes. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
By this stage, everybody has a million canvas bags from the supermarket. No, just start wearing those. Oh, cut a couple of holes.
Stitch them all together?
Yeah. Number three, don't bathe your children.
Oh.
Actually, we'll just jump to number four there. Don't have children. That's a real good way to save money, I tell you what.
Children. I've underlined that one. I remember that.
That's
next
a good one.
Time.
Yeah, don't have them. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go backwards from where you are, Margo, but do your best. Number five, share a tea bag. Yeah, find a tea bag, buddy. So every time you have tea, you don't throw the tea bag out. You swap it with a mate. Could be a neighbour. Could be someone down on a park bench.
Tea bag.
You give them the tea bag. Mm. Yeah, it's exactly what it's teabagging with friends.
Teabagging at its finest.
Look it up, kiddies.
Number six, this is a good tip. This is going to save people a lot of money. Eat your pets.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Roasted guinea pig, anyone?
Is poodle good? Does poodle taste nice?
Well, your pets are still in the garden, Margo. Just dig them up.
You
have
could
a
do
go.
Yeah, you could do
it's a slow roast.
You can have fun with a guinea pig.
You could use it as a brisket rub.
You could do a Dagwood style guinea pig.
Yeah, whatever you like. I've eaten guinea pig too, by the way.
Anything with batter, beer batter is good.
How is guinea pig taste, Harley?
Like
it's not bad. It's gamey. Yeah, it's very much like a platypus.
Did you say like I would have said.
Or platypus, they're very similar.
People are spending too much money on bottled water. So number seven, drink your own urine.
Okay, very survival.
Style?
Yes.
It's ethical. You know where it's come from. Yeah. And number eight, live in a tent. You know what? Everybody in this sunny state of Queensland, we love camping. Why not go on a permanent holiday?
There's a bit of it going on, actually.
There is a fair bit of it. There's people, early adopters, I call them, Marta.
Live rough.
Yes. The ones use who can't afford to live in their car. Sorry, mate.
Number nine, use candlelight. Don't worry about that pesky electricity, and then all
candles.
Of a sudden, and then you don't need your gas cooker either. You can just cook on top of the candles.
Oh,
it's a great
like
idea.
A camp kitchen.
Oh, this is extraordinary.
Brilliant.
But I would say this is my biggest tip for this because you know I love a drink. Is make prison moonshine.
Oh.
Yeah, otherwise known as Pruno, White Lightning, corn liquor, stump water, ruckus juice. All you need is fruit, sugar, and yeast. Now, yeast can be the hard thing to find, but if you're growing a man beard like I've got here. Well, it does produce its own yeast, so you can just wild yeast.
If you have a wife who's on antibiotics, perhaps.
Yeah. Yes. I'm glad you went there, Margo. I wrote it down.
Triple M Breakfast. Margo, Margo and Dan on 104.5 Triple M.
Guys, I couldn't believe my eyes when I walked into Big W yesterday. It's my daughter's birthday. Tomorrow, Memphis turns 13.
Oh, your first teenager.
Officially a teenager. Yeah, so cute. So I just picked up a few bits and pieces.
Hold on,
having
tomorrow.
A little party at home.
But it's a parker, so it goes for a week.
For a
month.
Having a little party at home with some family and friends. So I grabbed a few things and then I turned and I was confronted and bombarded with Easter. And I was like, oh, God, Easter stuff already.
What do you mean? No, Easter's in another
week.
Easter's a week.
Easter's next week.
Where have you been? I never go to supermarkets, but I know. I've been seeing rabbits with gold foil for ages.
I have not even noticed the Easter stuff.
Fair dinkum.
Well, I've been avoiding the shops because it's a part of my new budget plan that I just don't go shopping at all. I'm just avoiding any Westfield. I'm even avoiding the Hyperdome, and there's not even anything to buy down there, right?
I could go broke without you.
Not going to the shops whatsoever. And so I haven't been confronted by the Easter stuff. And then I went yesterday and I was like, oh my God, Easter already? And then I went, oh no, it's the 1st of April this weekend, which means Easter's early this year. It's next weekend.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no, we know.
We're aware of this.
We know what time it is.
I was not aware that Easter was next weekend.
Can I check something? Does school holidays start this Friday?
Easter. School holidays in 2 days. Friday, the 31st. April Fool's is Saturday. Like, all of these things just coming up.
What do you got to get organised for Easter? What does Easter mean? Like, there's no Easter tree. You don't have to put a tree up.
Of course, the Easter bunny comes. And
no,
we're going to be at Moreton Island.
You've now got a 7-year-old to 13-year-olds, four humans.
Easter bunny comes.
No, he doesn't.
The Easter bunny still comes.
Marto, what are you doing?
There's no kids listening at 14 past six.
What are you doing?
The Easter bunny comes next Sunday, and we have written a letter. He will find us at your house at Moreton Island.
With paw prints in flour.
Which means I need the Easter bunny.
Are you coming to my house at Easter?
I am. Well, that's through your daughter, Hillary. Hillary said I could come. Which means the Easter Bunny needs to be super organised this year because he's got to get himself all the Easter treats over to eat to Moreton Island.
Does he?
You're
talking to adults here. There's no 6-year-old.
No, what I did want to say though is how good does Easter chocolate taste? It tastes way different to normal chocolate. Those little hollow eggs wrapped in foil.
Do you think better?
Better. Oh. I sat on the couch last night and ate about 4 or 5 of those eggs. I said to Corey, are there any of those eggs left? And he goes, what, the boiled ones? And I'm like, no, the chocolate ones, you idiot.
What brand do you go, Daryl Lee?
Cadbury. I like Lindt, though. Yeah. I do like the little Lindt bunnies. But I'm hoping that the Easter bunny will bring me those for Easter.
Now, listen. 7 is too old to be thinking Easter Bunny, I think.
No.
Does she still believe?
You don't believe, you don't
believe in what? The real Easter Bunny, which is definitely real. What are you doing?
Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. Marto's thought on sport.
Hey, talk a bit of rugby league here. Oh, sorry.
Rugby league.
Mispronunciation by me. I want to talk about these players changing clubs, like now. Like this week. Have you seen, you remember Aaron Woods used to play for Origin and Karen Woods, I like the show. Yeah, well, Karen's just been swapped from St. George Dragons across to Manly. Mm. And as part of the deal, he's saying, oh, no, well, they wanted to
it's
get
a
rid
swap,
of.
Swap, isn't it?
They wanted two young players. One of them is guy Viliami Fifita, okay? Mm-hmm. Those two young players are going across, and the Sea Eagles get Woods. Karen Woods.
Now, who gets the better deal?
Karen Woods at the back end of his career and these two young guys. Anyway.
Are you saying it's happening
now? Eagles want them?
Is it now or end of the season?
No. He turned up at training at the Seagulls on Monday.
That's
and
great.
Those two young guys from Manly.
That's great.
So is it?
No, it's brilliant. The NBA do that. You just 1 week, you're playing for a different team. Bye.
I would rather that than playing for the club for 2 years.
Agreed.
And then going.
Like Suwali.
Or whoever else.
Well, listen. Sometimes these players probably need a little bit of advice before they get in front of a microphone. And there might be some players you shouldn't put a microphone on.
Is this the young guys?
No, Moses Suli. I don't know if you know him. He was a sensation when he first started. Then he left, I think he left the Tigers. He went to Sea Eagles and he was swapped. Same thing happened to him. He was let go from the Sea Eagles. They said, oh, listen, you go over there to the Dragons. Mm. All right, so he's now playing in the Dragons. He's starting this weekend against the Dolphins. La, la, la. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Maybe don't interview him. If you're the Dragons, don't put him up for interviews because he's now talking. This is him as a Dragons player. How's the camaraderie at the Dragons, by the way?
The culture's terrible.
Okay, so he's talking about those two young blokes that came across. Sort of suggested maybe they didn't want to be there.
We got the same manager. My manager let me know that he was looking to come here. From what my manager said, he didn't want to come. He loved it over there mainly, but... Yeah, I was in the same situation as well. I didn't want to come here, but I want to do what's best for me and what's best for my footy. And he's coming to do the same thing. So hopefully he comes, has a crack, and hopefully he does well.
It would appear to me that no one wants to be at the Dragons, including the coach.
Go now, Chris. Get out while you can. Marto, Margo, and Dan on Triple M.
It's Money Week on Triple M this week. We're trying to save you some cash. You know, everyone's feeling the pinch, Marto.
And today we're talking about the rental crisis that exists. People living in cars, kids living in cars. It's with families. There's all sorts of problems and is there answers? The government thought they'd open something, new apprenticeship school yesterday. I don't know if they've got the answers. This girl does, though, and can tell us a few. Antonia Mercarella from the CEO of the REIQ. How are you?
I'm very well. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Is there one single answer?
No. Look, I wish that that was the case, but there is no single answer. This rental crisis is, let's be honest and say it's a wicked problem. It's not a problem that's emerged overnight. So sadly, it's something that's been building for many, many years. But what we know is that there's lots of stakeholders out there with lots of solutions, and it's time that we start acting on those. I think the community is demanding it.
It's terrible for the people going through it, but is this symptomatic of something positive for Queensland in that we're a popular place to be? People want to live here. They want to be here. The population's going up and we feel for people who are struggling to find somewhere to live. But on the whole, it's a problem we need to fix. But is this a good sign for Queensland that people really want to be here?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I'm sure that anyone listening who's trying to find a rental property at the moment, it perhaps doesn't feel that way about it. But you're right in saying that it is a positive sign. There is the silver lining is that we know more and more people want to come to Queensland. And we know that that's great. We want to be opening our borders and welcoming people. Of course we do. But it's really important that we are able to house these people. And that's our challenge at the moment.
Migration's one angle, but that's been going on forever. My whole life there's been people because it's one of the perfect climates on planet Earth. That's one thing that's going to keep on happening. What about people who are going, it's a lot better earn if I put my joint on Airbnb and I've only got someone in it 3 days a week instead of 7 days a week? What sort of impact is that having?
Yeah, it's a good question, and we're seeing more and more of that. Sadly, they feel that the commercial outcome is preferable, but also we know that the level of regulation in that space is so much less than it is in the long-term or permanent rental market. And so we have heard some investors who have said, enough is enough. We're sick of the legislative intervention.
Yep.
And we're going to choose that market instead. And we've been saying for a long time, let's start addressing that, because that won't fix our problem, but certainly it would go a long way if we could do more to encourage those property owners to transfer those properties over to the permanent rental market. I think that would make a pretty big dent in the problem.
Antonia, if someone is listening to this right now, struggling to rent, what are some tips for them? Obviously, they can offer more money, right? But what if they don't have more money? Is it being really well-dressed for the inspection? Is it coming more towards what the owners want? If they say no pets and you're like, okay, well, I won't do that.
Are there other avenues that they can go through other than just the normal turn-up for an inspection of a rental that's open?
Yeah, speak to the people listening now who are struggling to find a rental.
Well, first of all, you can't say no pets. That's been outlawed in Queensland. Yeah. So, look, what I would say is owners are looking for someone who's going to look after the property and pay the rent on time. So I think the way that one is presented speaks to your ability to look after the property well. So I think going well-dressed is always important. Make sure you've got all your ducks in a row, got all the paperwork ready to go. In this market, you need to pounce really quickly. You'll need to broaden the number of suburbs you're interested in and also consider maybe a co-tenancy arrangement that would allow you to look at properties that are in a different price range, and potentially you could be renting as a co-tenancy group rather than on your own, which can expand your choices as well.
So start swinging, Antonia. Live with another couple. I hear you loud and clear.
Yep.
I got you.
I'm not touching that one.
All right, Antonia, CEO of the REIQ. Thank you for your time this morning, mate.
Thank you. Cheers.
Some Triple M breakfast wherever you can. Marto, Margo, and Dan on Triple M.
Triple M breakfast with Marto, Margo, and Dan.
Well, we just spoke to Antonia Mercarella from the REIQ, who was telling us about the situation that renters are finding themselves in, unable to obtain anywhere to live. There's a housing crisis, rental increases, etc. But then there's the flip side, which is the landlords and the tax that is being imposed on them, their land valuations being decreased. And now rules in place by Anastasia Palaszczuk, who has said just on Tuesday that you're only allowed to increase your rent once every every 12 months. So to tell us more about what that looks like for landlords, principal at Elders Real Estate, Shayla Park, Nathan Strudwick joins us. Good morning, Nathan.
Morning, team.
Rent roll, you have a lot of it. You deal with both landlords and people who are in a position to rent. Tell us how this works for your landlords.
Well, look, it's just going to disadvantage landlords going forward. The more taxes we put on them, the more regulation we put around them, it just makes it less and less exciting to buy an investment property. And I think what we need to get the psyche out of our minds is landlords are not rich people. Most people who are landlords are your listeners, Margot. They're in factories. They're in offices.
Mums and dads.
They're mums and dads. And the data, our data and our rent roll shows that it costs landlords 20% more to have that property than the rent they're receiving. So if they're receiving, for example, $40,000 in rent per annum, the costs are around $52,000 a year.
Is that right?
So it's, look, it's a long-term gain, you know, it's you know, and especially if you're an investor who has bought a property in the last 2 years and you've got to sell it now, you're going to take a haircut on the purchase price, most likely. So, you know, preventing rent increases, increasing land tax, the costs will get passed on. So Palish, yeah, the premier we've got at the moment, she wants to restrict landlords getting income back.
Hey.
But wants to charge them more to rent them out. You know?
It's a complete rip-off. I had a mate ring me yesterday, Strutty, and he said land tax has gone up by 65% in the last year. That's the government already ripping out money off these landlords. He also said our insurance, because after the floods and everything, if everyone doesn't realise, if you own a house, insurance gone up incredibly. Mortgages have gone up incredibly because not many of these people own these rental properties outright. They've got loans with the bank, so they're also getting the interest, and rates have gone up. So they're getting whacked from four different sides, and they're going, oh, what, we can only put it up each year. They haven't put a limit on how much they can put it up, though, have they, Nathan?
No, they haven't. And look, it actually is just a bit of a PR exercise from the Premier, because if you have a 12-month lease, you can only put it up once every 12 months anyway, and most of our leases are 12 months.
Oh, right.
So, no, it's not actually, it's just a bit of a PR.
Doesn't do anything.
Exercise. No, it doesn't. It's all the other things that are the painful point. And like, if you're an investor, let's say you've got $300,000, you could go buy shares in the stock market, and there's no land tax on shares. Mm. You know, there's no property management costs on shares.
So why do I want a house?
Yeah, so it then encourages landlords to sell those properties. Correct. And not have them. And then there's less houses on the market for rent, which is only going to further push renters into further, you know, living rough and homelessness.
Exactly.
Strutty, on the other side of this, I can hear people now saying at their radio, I can't get into the housing market. Is it the worst thing in the world if housing prices come down, then maybe I can finally buy
renting's
a house?
Renting's great, let me tell you.
There are a lot of advantages to renting. There's heaps. But I can hear people right now going, housing prices will come down. Good.
Yeah, look, they have come down. They're not going to come down enough for people to get into the market if they've only saved $20,000, for example. What the government does need to do is it needs more land release. That I think we're underestimating how many people in the last 2 years have come to Queensland from other states and internationally. And we are going to get more and more, and it's going to be jam-packed in tighter spaces.
Mate,
they need to release more land.
Have you seen Yarrabilba? Like, we need more of that. Flagstaff.
Exactly.
We need.
Exactly.
There's so many people moving up here. And that's why you say there'll be no problems with if landlords want to sell their house. All these people coming up from Sydney, you're going, that's cheap.
Correct.
I want a bit of that action. There's still no houses.
Nathan, you go.
And if they do sell, if a landlord sells to an owner-occupier, there's another property out of the market for a renter to rent, you know.
Strutty, thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
Whoa.
What do you got?
Now, listen, Nathan Strudwick, you're selling Margot's house just before you go. How's it going?
She's got me in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
She's getting her pound of flesh, don't you worry.
Right. You're getting my money's worth out of you, mate.
All right.
It all makes sense.
We may speak to you again shortly about that aspect.
All right, I've got some stories already.
Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Principal at Elders Real Estate in Shayla Park. Hey, phones are open if you want to weigh in on this topic. If you're seeing it out there, the rental crisis, maybe you're on either side of the argument, renter, landlord, 133353.
Really interesting aspect as well, Marta. You said this yesterday and it kind of spiked a bit of interest for me. Renters are picky and fussy because they don't want to live in certain areas. They want to be located conveniently to schools, workplaces, shopping centres, etc. No one's willing to take a backward step to be able to get ahead these days. Everybody wants what they want now. Are you finding maybe people are, you know, a little bit fussier, which is leaning into their circumstances.
People my age are being forced to move in with random strangers. That's something you do in your 20s, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll share with anyone. But people in their 50s are now going, oh, I'm going to have to lower my standards. Yeah, that's
called,
all there is.
They're called swingers.
Put
generally.
The ego
they're
aside.
They're not called swingers.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. They're Brisbane Az.
Hey, do you hear the story that they're using the lure of moving to Redcliffe, living on the water and cheap housing? That's what's getting people over the line. So we'll ask, check with that one with him.
Oh.
You know how you told me that Gold Coast sign that's near Yatala there, the big
lights.
One that they built for the Commonwealth Games.
$4 million they spent.
The one that no one's actually can see while you're driving. You have to be on a specific spot on a hill 3 kilometres away
that's
to
ridiculous.
See it.
It's supposed to say Gold Coast in big lights as you drive down.
They had it on the news last
Yatala
night. There. It looked great. Right, if you've got the camera in the right place,
in the right
it
angle.
Looked tremendous.
There's one at the airport too that says GC that's angled. You can actually see that.
Oh, that's good.
That's proper.
Because it's angled, it's proper.
And you came in and told me they turned it off and the hoons.
Well, they were using
have
it.
Have you seen the marks on the road? The hoons, that's their meeting point
that's
where
meeting
they do
point.
Doughies and circle
and have
work
racing and stuff.
And then they turned it off, the police person said.
Ed.
They're drawn to it like moths. So what we did was turn the light off and all the burnout stopped. It's as if they drove past and went, well, were we meant to meet again?
I can't see those lights.
Ah, we
drove past it. All right, so Tom Tate, he was on last night. Gold Coast Council said, right, they're going. That's the end. The lights are never going back on. Let's move them. They got a quote, it's $2 million to move them to another site where people could actually see the sign. It cost $2 million to put it there near Yatala in the middle of middle of the M1. So they say another $2 million. Tom Tate's going, what?
I can tell you, if the cost to move is $2 million, well, that's probably a good space to just leave it there.
Just leave it
just
there
leave
and
it.
Never turn the lights on. And they're just a couple of posts sticking up. But then Tom Tate,
the mayor of the Gold Coast.
Mayor of the Gold Coast came up with another idea, and this is worth everyone considering.
Taking it to the dump is a waste. I would put it up for any developers or whatever to see if they can utilise some of it.
You know where I'm going there. It's just ring Tom Tate and say, Tom, I'd like to buy a vowel. Can I grab the A if you wanted an A? Or maybe, can I get a T?
Hang on.
Sort of stuff. Who'd want it?
Who needs lights? Who had lights out on Friday night?
The Gabba.
Gabba needs some
just
lights.
A Gold Coast tower. you know, the Forex Brewery here on Milton Road, where it's got the big 4X lights.
Yes.
What about just they buy the gold and they just start advertising 4X gold.
Brilliant.
Bang.
That's a great idea.
Anyone else? There's a lot of letters. G-O-L-D, there's, what's that for?
Repurpose the letters.
There's 9 letters available. If you wanted to, Toads, T-O-A-D-S. Tom, can I buy T-O-A-D-S?
Can I take G-O-D? Just drop the L?
G-O-D.
God.
No worries. Where
in
are you
my
putting
backyard.
It? Or dog, if you're a dyslexic.
Well, you can spell, I don't know, if there's a place called GC Tools. They could take it and put it out the front of their shop.
There's all those letters there.
Yeah, you can do
that's
GC.
That's brilliant.
You could also do, I don't know where this would be, but mate, do they have a problem with people leaving dog poo around the Gold Coast? Because you can spell dog scat if you really wanted to.
Toast? T-O-A-S-T, they're all available. I think, no.
Can you get Ava?
Oh, no, there's only one T available. Ghost? No.
Ghost.
This might have to do us. I think
gold at the brewery.
Yeah, that was soot. Should have finished with that.
Soot.
Yes.
Put them on Marketplace.
Oh my God, $127 per letter.
What's the option on Marketplace? Pick up only.
Yeah.